Hello and welcome to Water Cooler Christianity. My name is Aaron Hayworth. I'm your host. I'm a Methodist pastor in North Carolina, and I'm here with Fede Apacena. And Fede is going to be talking to us today about some of his interests in life, fitness, and just the different things that he's into and how that is part of his faith. Fede is a pastor in Georgia. Is it a suburb of Atlanta?
Yeah, I think you can name it like that, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so before we get started today, we have a standard set of questions that we ask.
All right.
First question, and this is an intense one. Describe your walk with Christ in two words.
In two words. I think it would be growing pains.
Growing pains.
It's like you're growing all the time. I think you learn a lot, but it's not like it gets easier.
Yeah.
But the more you grow, you get in different areas, and it gets painful.
Yeah. Yeah, especially you started off pursuing law.
Right.
And that couldn't have been easy to switch over to pastoral ministry.
That's a big change.
Yeah. All right. This is a very serious question. You're at a movie theater. You've already got your popcorn. And you need to get a piece of candy to go with it. What's your movie theater candy of choice?
Let me see if I say name right. Snickers.
Snickers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
That would be like. Yeah. I think I could eat easy like 20 of those.
Just like a bag of Snickers.
Yeah. It would be an awesome day.
Yeah. It's got protein in it, right?
Right.
Peanuts. All right. And this is a revealing question. We all have a favorite saint, someone that we look up to. But who is your favorite sinner?
Like, a lot of sinners come to my mind. But I would say at this moment, has to be alive or could be dead?
It can be alive, dead, fictional, real.
Okay. He's dead. I just hope not to hurt any political sensitivity, but this Che Guevara.
Oh, okay.
Like he's from Argentina. I'm from Argentina, and I grew up hearing of the legend of Che Guevara.
Yeah.
Now he's not a saint because, well, he played an interesting role, and he, you know, a lot of blood is on his hands and everything. But I think he's my favorite sinner, you know.
Yeah, you learn as much from people who do everything right as you do, people who have kind of questionable motives, but or good motives, but questionable means.
Exactly.
And, yeah, interesting. Good answer. Okay. If you're on a desert island and somehow you magically have a TV and it can only play one show for the rest of the time you're on this desert island, what do you watch? Favorite desert island TV show?
I would say my downfall would be Lost, because of the irony of it. But no, I think
in this
period of my life, I'm really enjoying this TV show called Suits.
Oh, Suits. Okay.
It's about lawyers.
I
think it still is in my heart.
Yeah, man of the law.
It's kind of funny and lawyery and.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. I'll have to check that out. All right, and then last question is just, what are you into this week? What have you been getting into?
I think this week there are two things. Basketball. I started playing basketball again with a couple of high school coaches, and that's really fun, except that it's at 5:30 in the morning.
Oh, wow.
But that's the only way that we can use the school basketball court.
Yeah.
And, well, all my, you know, superheroes, favorite TV shows started this week.
Yeah, Daredevil comes out tomorrow. Do you watch that?
I'm pretty excited. The problem with that one is that you can watch all the episodes just
one day. Once. So you're not going to do anything tomorrow.
I'm not going to be working.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, like Arrow, The Flash.
Yeah, so you're a big superhero guy as well. Yeah, same here.
So it's a good week for me, and I'm really happy.
Yeah, good stuff. And Are you an NBA fan?
Yeah.
Okay, so the NBA is starting back up. You got basketball of your own. You got superhero TV shows.
Yeah, well, and also I'm pretty excited that I'm living, you know, in an area that they have a NBA game.
Oh,
NBA
yeah.
team, you know, like Atlanta Hawks. They did not have a good time yesterday, but it's very exciting that I'm going to be able to see some games. It's just 20 minutes away from where I live. So.
Yeah, that'll be great.
Just need to get the tickets.
It's a good time to be alive. Yeah, well, just wait till like the Charlotte Hornets come and you can pay like $8 to go see the game.
That's true. But if you pay, you want to see some, you know, big players.
Yeah, true. True enough. All right. Well, one of the reasons that I wanted to have Fede on, besides the fact that he's just an interesting person all around, the most interesting man in the world, is he's a part of something that is a cultural phenomenon, and it's probably been a cultural phenomenon for the past decade or so, has exploded in growth and movement, and that is CrossFit, and in general, interested in fitness. So. Can you tell us about what led you to CrossFit?
Yeah. So the first time I experienced CrossFit, during my time at seminary at Duke, I went to Kenya for 3 months. And when I came back, my wife said, like, you didn't lose even 1 pound and you were in Africa. So you're going to CrossFit. So that was my first encounter with CrossFit.
Okay, so you were ordered to CrossFit.
Right. It's like, we will pay for it because it's very expensive. It's a very expensive, it's a very expensive workout.
Yeah.
And it's pretty intense. And I signed up for a losing weight kind of program. And it was really good. I did lose weight. And I really enjoyed it. That was for 3 months. But then we could not afford it anymore.
Oh, yeah.
So I started different group fitness programs.
Okay.
None like CrossFit. And I got big into it. I was a missionary in Uruguay, South America, for the past 3 years. And there is an interesting relation with a clergy person over there.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, pastors do not hang with people.
Yeah, you're more on a different level.
Exactly, because, you know, if people feel like they're close to you, they cannot be who they are.
Let your guard down.
Right. And being a young pastor, and the pastor that was before me, he was 82 years old.
Okay, so a bit of a difference.
50 years. My wife and I were desperate for friends.
Yeah.
So we could not find friends. So after a year, we'd say, like, okay, let's go to a place where people don't know who we are, and let's get into it. We've been reading about CrossFit. I was obsessed with the CrossFit competitions.
Mm-hmm.
I've been buying those competitions on the DVDs.
Just streaming them?
It's pretty intense.
Yeah.
I love it. It's like how people get into it. I have a cousin in Spain who opened his gym. Actually, when I was here in the U.S., I pay everything for him because he could not pay. And it was only based in the U.S., so he needed to pay a certification here. My sister-in-law is a CrossFit instructor, too.
So this is a family enterprise at this point.
And, you know, it's a very expensive thing to become a CrossFit instructor. But if you have the resources, it's also, you make money.
Yeah.
So we went there. We started going to a gym, and we were part of the 8 a.m. group.
Okay, so, you know, consistent workouts, right, consistent people.
And as soon as we arrived, they were excited. Oh, we have more people at the 8 a.m. group.
Yeah.
Like, so the 11 a.m. will know that we have more people now, and we can get together. And fast enough, we started realizing, like, okay, this is kind of like every hour has its own group.
Yeah.
And it becomes like your family. You know, because I think
shared suffering,
right,
the grueling hours of workouts make you cohere.
It seems like that, because there are a lot of things that we started liking right away. So my wife is very competitive, mm-hmm, and she's super fit. Well, it runs in her family. seems like it's in her DNA. But right away we started realizing that there was something just by working out with in CrossFit that we really like it. Nobody was done until everybody was done.
Mm.
Like, if you finished, you cannot clean up and leave. You had to wait and walk around and cheer those that were behind you. Mm. So until the last one, if you finish, there are workouts. There's one that's called Cheaper. My wife tried to explain to me where that came from, but it's about, I think it has to do with a it's kind of like a farmer truck, which is, it's a lot of different workouts that is really hard to finish.
Yeah.
And so you're not done until you finish that. Sometimes you say, like, you work out for 20 minutes. No, the cheaper you're done when you're done.
You've given everything.
It doesn't matter if you take 2 hours, you're done.
Yeah.
We are done. And I remember, so it was like my second week. And it was one that it took me like 28 minutes. And the person that finished like in 15 minutes started running with me.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, this guy is crazy. Because if I'm done, I'm going to be resting on the floor.
Yeah.
And they started cheering each other.
He was there with you.
Yeah.
That's solidarity, right? One of the things that I wanted to talk about with CrossFit is how it's kind of like church. And there is something very like Jesus about cheering on the people that are struggling.
It's... There are a lot of blogs. If you Google the theology of CrossFit,
you'll
find a lot of things. It is like a church. It's like saying, you know, if this is one of the languages that we had at our church. Well, you know, you have the people from the 9 a.m. service and you have the people from the 11 a.m. service.
I did not even think about that. There's kind of a rivalry.
Right.
Yeah, a rivalry, but it's a common identity.
And the reasons are so the same. Because the 8 a.m. service are like, so we just go to 8 a.m. because we want
to get it over with
and have the rest of the day.
Yeah, they want brunch, just the same as church.
Exactly. The church is the same thing, you know. Some people will dare to say it, some people will not. But they'll say, but we have some people say, oh, I just go in the morning so we have the rest of the day with my family.
Yeah.
So they started seeing similarities that are like scary.
Yeah. Well, how has it affected your life? And I guess your physical disciplines are a lot like spiritual disciplines.
Right.
How has it affected your life to work out early in the morning, to play basketball at 5:30, to do CrossFit?
I think CrossFit did it more than basketball right now. It's been only a few weeks playing basketball, mostly because I'm recovering from back injury. That it wasn't because of CrossFit.
Because
there are a lot of people that say,
disclaimer, CrossFit, do not sue us.
It wasn't because of CrossFit. I was doing a whole different workout without warming up.
Yeah.
And then I hurt myself. Mm. So warm up before you work out. It's been amazing. I realized that my spiritual life changed just by doing that. Because it's like you're putting gas into your body. Mm-hmm. Like you get adrenaline, your body is moving. It's like you started the engine and just runs during the day. Rather than starting slowly, you start like super fast. And it's been amazing. It's been really good.
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now, but there are hormones that your body releases when you work out. And they're the same hormones that you release when you're in a group of people and you're in a social setting. So as I understand it, exercise has the potential to make you more fulfilled.
Right.
Emotionally.
Makes me happy.
Yeah.
And we're talking about CrossFit. You know,
Suffering.
You see people, they're suffering, but I enjoy it. And it happened to me. I think it was a feeling that I had almost every day. I did not want to go.
Mm.
But once you're there,
you're glad.
You're in it.
Yeah. I definitely have not had that feeling about church. I don't want to go. But then you get there, and then Jesus was there anyway.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's and one of the best things that happened to us, to me and my wife, over there in Uruguay, is that there was 1 week that we were out of the country. And all the group and even the coaches started texting us.
Aww.
Where are you? What's going on? How's it going? And then we started having like weekly meals every Friday. We were having like meals together.
Yeah.
And if I start talking about this and you take the name CrossFit and workout out of it, you might think I'm talking about a church.
Yeah. So there's something there about community that when you, and I talked about this actually in my sermon this past week, when you love the same things, it makes you love each other.
Right.
So it's almost kind of holding up a mirror to the church to say, oh, if CrossFit can build this kind of community, why can't people who love God build a community as strong
right.
as this?
And CrossFit, you pay more in CrossFit than what you give in your offerings at church, too.
Oh, yeah. There's a higher expectation.
Exactly.
And does that expectation build ownership?
Exactly. And I think, you know, that's one of the gifts of being an expensive workout. So in Uruguay, it was way cheaper because it was like $45 a month and you work out every day. Here it's like $200.
Yeah.
Wow. Now where I am, because my wife and I were going to start in a different gym because we moved to a different part of the town. It's like $99 a month, which
okay.
is really good.
Yeah.
But you pay like 6 months altogether.
Yeah. Because they want you wrapped in.
Right. It hurts.
Yeah.
But also helps you to, okay, have this commitment. And it's a lot of money. So I have to
do it. Yeah, you don't want to throw that away.
Yeah. And something interesting that happens with CrossFit, most gyms signed up for this too, is that if you belong in one, so you know as Methodists, we know this, you belong in one, and you're on vacation, you can go and go to another CrossFit gym.
Oh, it's like a network.
Right, and you say like, I'm a CrossFit member, and you know, for a couple of days, they will not charge you, because you're part of the CrossFit family.
Nice.
You're like, we're Methodists, you know, we're connectional. You know, you're Methodists here, you're Methodists there. And it's the same with CrossFit.
Wow, I didn't know that.
You belong.
Yeah.
And I learned that in Uruguay because we used to go to the capital of the country a lot because of the hospitals were there. And every time we go, our coach sent us a text saying, so I spoke with the coach of Montevideo. Mm-hmm. And you just come drop by anytime and they will not charge you. Just say that you're part of our gym.
Awesome. Well, one thing that I guess to stay on CrossFit, to move to a slightly different topic, is the words of CrossFit, the terminology. There are all these different words. Can you run us through some?
So I think the most common one is WOD.
WOD.
You know, WOD, which is work of the day.
Yeah.
Then you have AMRAP, you know, as many repetitions as possible.
So that's just till you collapse, right?
Yeah. So like that one is you have 20 minutes and you do it. You do it and, you know, sometimes it's 16 minutes, sometimes it's 12. But, you know, they don't let the time trick you. Like if it's 12 minutes, you know, it's going to be intense. So there are a lot of different, like cheaper. So cheaper doesn't necessarily, how you call it when every word means something?
Acronym.
Yeah, cheaper is not necessarily an acronym, but you know what's going to happen.
It's
that
special
day.
Meaning.
Which is, you know, like saying, so it's usually in Uruguay, we used to have it on Tuesdays. You know, Tuesday was the cheaper day.
So how you go, you sign up for CrossFit. How do you learn these words? Are they taught to you? Do you just pick it up as you go?
You pick it up as you go.
Okay, so there's no, somebody sits you down with a manual.
No.
And says, let me talk.
They ask you, so have you done this before? You say no. So you go for a week. You work out with everybody, but you just do it slowly.
Yeah. And do some of the more experienced people help out with the new people?
Most of the times, yeah.
Yeah.
Most of the times they do.
So you're not just over in the corner, just.
No, it's all about. I think it's all about inclusion. Anything, and I think this is something that we need to learn also as a church. And so my wife and I, we do fitness, group fitness, in our church. You know, we did it as an attraction, and we do it because builds community. And it's the fact that I think CrossFit, they see that they don't necessarily make money. They don't attract people because people look fit. Because if you go to any regular CrossFit gym, probably 20% of the people that are there are like super repped.
Yeah.
The rest go there, one, because it's a good workout, but second, because they make friendships there.
Mm.
You know, you spend time with people, and there is a lot of times that you work with partners.
Mm.
it's not just by yourself. You know, you have two or three people that work with you, and you split the workout. There is, for example, there is one, I don't recall the name right now, because in Uruguay we used to try to do it in Spanish too. But it's, you have to do in 15 minutes, just giving you an example, like 150 push-ups, 200 squats, 100 push press, and then you have a partner. So you use like you do. You can say I'm terrible at push-ups. So you do 20, and your partner does 80.
Oh my gosh!
You know your partner picks up where you cannot, or you just do it until you're done, and then your partner said like, okay, now I'm in. Rest.
Man, talk so, about bearing your cross.
Right. So I think they do church better than us.
Wow.
At some point.
Yeah, carrying the least of these.
Because that's, so when we talk about things we miss about Uruguay, with my wife, most of the things we said is our CrossFit family.
Yeah. That's you know? Intense.
So, and as a pastor, you know,
What are the, yeah. So to go a little bit towards ministry, what are the things that you do in your church or your spiritual life that you feel build community the most?
Meals. Yeah. My family, so that's so I use Uruguay a lot because I only started back here in the U.S. 3 months ago. And we're trying to implement that here, but U.S. is a little bit harder because people are so busy.
Highly programmed.
My goodness.
Soccer,
oh,
basketball, tennis, chess,
yeah, I have
piano.
A lot of people that say when sports season is over, we can go back to regular
there is
life.
No off season. speaking of which, as we're recording this, I saw a post earlier that said, talking about sports, there is no off season. Today is the equinox, where the sports equinox in the United States is when there's some years, not every year, there is an NFL game and a Major League Baseball game, a hockey game, an NHL game, and an NBA game all on the same day.
Man.
And there is today.
What do you
They
do?
All overlap. There's no off time. There's no off season.
Yeah. So that's harder here, but it's something that we do to build communities, to have meals. We invite people over. One of the things that we did as soon as we arrived to the U.S., we asked a friend to make us a big table where we can fit between 16 and 18 people.
Mm.
So, well, you and I, you see me on Facebook or on Instagram.
Yeah.
You see the meals. So it seems like the only thing I do is to eat.
Hey, I don't hate it. I think it's great.
And that's the way we bring people together.
Yeah, so you're very open with inviting people into your home.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's so important because you're a little vulnerable at your house. You're like, my house is a little dirty, but I don't care if you come over and see
it. And you can control the time when you're in your house.
Yeah.
One of the things that I do, I like to grill a lot, but like Argentinian style. So it takes a solid 3 hours to get the meat running. So you invite people a little bit earlier because that's the Argentinian style. Like you don't start eating like an hour after they arrive. And then people just stay like, so a regular meal is like on a weekend is between 3 or 4 hours. So you stay there for 3 or 4 hours.
Good conversation,
and
good time.
Yeah, so you're forced to interact with people.
Yeah.
And then you have the big table. So that one of the purposes of having the big table is that we can have the kids also on the table.
Everybody then, together.
Right. And so in Uruguay, that worked out really well, actually. That we had like a small group where we were having dinner almost every day of the week. And here in Uruguay, here in the U.S., it's a little bit harder to be able to get people together because of the sports season. And they get home and they're like tired.
Yeah.
But when we do, everybody loves it.
Yeah. Well, you're also spreading the work
right.
a bit. It's like, can you bring a salad or what have you, that part of the meal. So
yeah. Something that they do a lot is they bring sweet tea and they don't drink it. So we have a lot of sweet tea at home.
Southerners.
Oh my gosh. I don't know why they bring that if they don't drink it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
that's That's so interesting. Tell me, one of the first things, Fede and I were in a candidacy group in the North Carolina Conference for ordination or for candidacy for pastoral ministry. And one of the first things I noticed about Fede was he drinks a very special drink. Can you this is one of the most interesting things about you. It's like, it intrigued me so much. Tell me about...
It's called mate. So funny thing, I just saw a friend's proofreading what I wrote. I wrote a correlation between mate and communion.
See, I knew there was something there.
Yeah. So mate is so Uruguay, Argentina, Paraguay, a lot of Brazil, a lot of South American countries drink it. So you have this cup, and you put herbs in it, and you have a straw with a filter in the bottom, and you pour hot water. That's a simplified way.
So it's a loose tea.
Kind of.
But like it's not tea.
It's not. Yes and not.
You know, okay.
An Argentinian spices. Would argue, like, it's not tea.
Yeah.
This is not tea.
But there's some spices and...
You can add, yeah, it depends on the person that is drinking it. Now, the goal of that, and that is a funny thing. So if somebody goes to your house in Argentina and they say, and the person that is hosting you, the person that you go to see says, should I heat the water up? What the person is asking you is, are you going to stay longer? You're going to stay a long time. Because if we're going to drink mate, that's going to be a solid hour and a half.
Yeah.
So it means downtime, and also goes in circles.
Yeah.
So if you Google also, you know, Google again, Google pictures of people drinking mate, you will see circles or semicircles, and the mate goes around, and so everybody drinks from the same straw, from the same cup.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. I started researching because I when I teach at the Duke Youth Academy, that's one of my spiritual practices. Drinking mate.
That's great.
One, you know, like connects me with my fathers, mothers, because my entire family drank that. And it's also a native practice from Latin America, from South America. And that's why I write the correlation between that and in communion, because that practice happened even before the Spaniards came to South America.
Yeah, it's ancient practice.
And, you know, and it's pretty much the same. So you take these herbs from a tree, you break it, you destroy it, and then you pour it in a cup, and you pour water, and everybody drinks from that, the same water and from the same cup.
Yeah, sharing it. Yeah.
And it has, you know, the legend is that it gives you life, it makes you younger, keeps you strong.
It seems to be working.
It seems... It's the hair. It's the hair.
Yeah.
But the mate and communion is so strong. It seems like that's what my life is around. You know, like I grew up in that environment where you are with people sharing things.
Yeah, sharing food, sharing drink, sharing conversations.
And, you know, in the U.S. it's really hard also with that because, you know, Germans. Not Germans. The germs.
Oh,
because you drink from the same straw.
Yeah, people are really afraid of that.
Right. So now it's happening in South America too. But it's still between friends that stays there.
Yeah.
And actually, I preached last Sunday, and I was really excited because it was more than a preaching, it was a teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And then I told the senior pastor, I'm going to have my mate set because when I teach, I need that. Because I talk more than when I preach, when I teach.
It's like comfort.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, I think that's what it is for me. And when the worship leader was getting out of the stage, I said, like, hey, Trey, do you want to try some? And he did it in front of the church. And I said, like, you know, so nobody gets suspicious, because the first time I did it here at Duke Divinity School, security came and thought that I was preparing something weird, because the herbs, I had it on a Ziploc bag. If you look at those herbs in a Ziploc bag, it looks like, you know, you have marijuana with you.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
But I don't smoke it, I drink it.
Yeah.
mate is a big part of who I am. Well, the Pope drinks mate, you know?
Yeah. Hey, he's just all right. Say, Frankie, you know? He can
just say.
Have a little mate, you know? Well, that's awesome. I just remember us gathering around and we're sharing our call stories and things like that. And I'm just like, that looks interesting.
Because it's not like carrying a cup. It's a big set.
Would you call is it not a cup, a chalice maybe? I don't even know.
It looks like that, yeah.
It's very ornate. It looks nice.
Your questions.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this, since you told me earlier that you're a superhero fan. Mm-hmm. And this is we can wrap up with this, actually, is who is your favorite superhero and why? Because we talked about superheroes when Laura and I did an episode a while back.
Really? Well, this is going to sound odd to a lot of people. Because I don't think they're in the caliber of superheroes. So I would say if it's the DC comic world, Marvel world, it's Batman. But I'm from the theory that Batman stole... So the person who wrote about Batman stole the idea from El Zorro.
Oh, yeah.
You know, El Zorro is like an early version of Batman. You know, this rich guy who dressed like...
Fights black, crime and clandestine.
Yeah, this awesome horse. Doesn't have an awesome car, but it's an awesome horse. But no, El Zorro is my favorite. And because of that, Batman.
Okay, I can dig it. Yeah.
And so I think the reason is, well, Zorro was a little bit more open about the fact that he was fighting for those that were being oppressed by the Spanish government.
It's a justice thing. Sometimes Batman is just out there beating people up.
Right. Yeah. He's also fighting bad guys, but Zorro was more like a matter of social justice because he was originally, he was the son of a Native American and Spaniel. And so he had this connection with also the tribes.
I need to go check out some Zorro.
Yeah. Antonio Banderas plays a really good Zorro. Just the first one. The other one is terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Okay. Let me just ask, do you have anything else to share about your life and what you've got going on right now? About CrossFit or about...
No, the thing is, so it's like a different town, same story. We're in this amazing church. I'm an associate pastor in this amazing church that is growing. It has a very missional environment. And nevertheless, even though we have this community that is way different than the one we had in Uruguay, my wife and I had a serious discussion about, okay, we need to find a CrossFit family here. Mm. The interesting thing is it's not about the workout, because we teach workouts and stuff, but it's about family.
Having a place where you're not in charge too.
Exactly, because you know, a church. So I have really good friends. A lot of them are busy, but it doesn't matter. Any time, at some point, the conversation is gonna turn to work.
Yeah.
Well, we need people that we can hang and talk about other things beyond church.
I think that's good advice for people, is to have different groups of people that you can find interest with.
Yeah, I think so. One of the things we're doing, one of my small groups is reading this book from Barbara Brown Taylor, The World is an Altar, An Altar in the World, where she's talking about finding God in every space of your life. Mm. And I think that's what we discovered accidentally with my wife, is that we found God in a place where we didn't think we could find God, because we found a community that cared for us and realized, you know, we don't have to have our 2 feet within the church building in the church community. You know,
sometimes it's better if you don't.
We need to be able to tap into different areas so we can experience God in different ways.
Great.
That's where we are.
Well, thanks for sharing with us, and look forward to seeing what you do at your new church, your workout groups that you're starting, and hope your back is recovering.
When you come and visit, you can work out with us.
Oh my gosh, yeah, I'll need you to carry me out. If we do, if we share that workout, I think I'll be doing 5 push-ups and you can do 95. Okay.
All right.
Well, I'm signing off here for Water Cooler Christianity with Fede. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, guys.